Several years ago, I do not remember what year it was, but many of you that were a part of Anchor Baptist Church, you remember this beautiful plaque that was made with the hands of one of our dear brothers who's now with the Lord. Brother Art Sauer made this, and it's from, I don't know what kind of wood it's from, but he had all kinds of pieces and parts in his little workshop that he had out there in his garage. Maybe you didn't get a chance to meet Brother Sauer, but you'll get a chance to meet him someday in heaven. This plaque sits right here in our office, hangs over top of the TV that we use for Faith Bible Institute, and it was our theme for one. Again, I don't remember what year it was, but this is something that we'll always remember and always want to live by as people of God, living our life by faith. Well, that's what kind of led me a little bit, I guess, maybe, this year. But for 2 months now, I've been looking at this verse on my desk. I wrote it out on a little yellow post-it note. And the emphasis that God placed on me was strong in faith. Strong in faith. You know, the Bible talks about weak faith. Why is your faith so weak? Jesus mentioned that. And I'm glad to have weak faith, but I don't want to stay at weak faith. I want it to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And really, that's the theme of the message today, is simply that, strong in faith. I'm sure you recognize by now that in Romans chapter number 4, the main character, obviously God is the main character in every verse of Scripture, but the emphasis that is being placed, humanly speaking, in Romans chapter 4, is on the man by the name of Abraham. Abraham. And here we see the Apostle Paul, though, is writing, and he's writing about the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is what brings salvation to you and to me today. That's the way we get saved. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And you notice the connection that was made there in verse verse number 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." They kind of always go hand in hand, don't they? Grace and faith, grace and faith. By the grace of God, we can even have salvation. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's getting something that we do not deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve the street of gold. We don't deserve a place in heaven being prepared for us, which Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That means today he's preparing a place for those that have by faith accepted his payment, his gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so faith is vital. But I want you to know something, that faith did not begin in the New Testament. Faith can be seen in the life of the Old Testament as much as it can be in the life of the New Testament and in our lives today. Faith is what brings salvation. Faith is what brought Abraham every step of the way. And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. Works do not play a role at all in our salvation. Today you might be watching a live stream and you might be one of those visitors, or it might be, you might even be someone who attends regularly, but you're still anticipating salvation because of something that you have done. My friend, you cannot be saved apart from the faith in Christ and Christ alone. He alone brings salvation. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Notice what it says in verse number two of the chapter that we're reading. "For if Abraham were justified by works..." So notice the word "if." If is an important word. "Then it says, he hath whereof to what? To glory." If salvation was about Abraham and his good works, then Abraham would be able to get the glory. I'm a good man. I'm a good guy. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm a good whatever. And we could say that today. If it were by works, then Abraham would receive the glory, but not before God. And so we know that salvation is not by Abraham's works. It's not by my works. It's not by your works, because God is the one who gets the glory. Man might say, wow, what a good man that is. What a good entrepreneur. What a man of charity. He's given a lot to charity. What a great guy. But you know what? You know who I want to please? You know who I want to be clapping? You know who I want to receive the glory? Not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the great, our great God in heaven. God gets the glory when the salvation message is continued to be preached, that it's by faith in Him, not by works of righteousness which we have done. I want you to hold your place in Romans 4. I want you to go all the way back to the beginning. Go to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. Now, when we look at Abraham's life and in Romans chapter number 4, we might think, wow, what great faith. And I do believe he was a man of great faith. I'm not contradicting the Bible, but what we're going to see in Abraham's life here by way of introduction is that there was some things that that came into Abraham's life that he endured, that he overcame, that were brought into his life that affected the level of faith that he would eventually come to. Look at what it says in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Okay, this is the same man that we're talking about in Romans 4. Okay, in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Isn't that something? God says to Abram, "I'm your protection and I'm your provider. I'm your protection, I'm your provider. I'm your protection, I'm your shield, I'm your provider, I'm your reward." Really, think about it. That would be a great verse for us to really emphasize and think about. What else do we need today than God? Who else do we need today than God? We don't need anyone else. We don't need to fear, because God is still our shield and God is still our reward. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be mine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now, I know we haven't seen the stars maybe in recent days much, okay? But imagine, if you will, what it's like to see the stars. And we have no idea how many stars Abram would have seen that day. And you have no idea how many your eyes are looking at when we get a clear night sky and we get out away from the city, way out into wherever, into Chilliwack and beyond, and it's darker out there and we can see the beautiful stars maybe. But Abram looks up and have no idea how many stars he's seeing, and God says to him, "Well, you see the stars that are in heaven," and he says, "That's exactly how your nation, that's exactly what's coming from you. That's how many there's going to be. That's how many thy seed shall be." Whoa, wow. From nothing to numberless. Look at verse 6. "And he," Abram, "believed in the Lord." Well, that's something to mark. "And he," Abram, that's who he is, I'm adding Abram, "believed in the Lord." What is this? It's faith. It's faith in what he could not see. It's faith in what he could not even imagine to be the case, because he doesn't have any. He doesn't have the promised son. He doesn't have any child at this point that God has brought into his life. He doesn't have one, and yet God says, "I'm going to give you as many as the stars are in heaven." And it was simply this: God said it, and Abram believed it. I want to encourage you today, church, when God says it, let's believe it, whether we understand it or not. When God gives you something in His Word, oh, hold to the promises of the Word of God. They are not just for the Bible days. They are for your day and for my day today. Let's have a renewed desire in our life to believe God for the impossible. To believe God when He says, this is coming, this is coming. Believe God for that. Even when we can't see it, we trust God. This is faith. This is the beginning of it. Abram believed God. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Now you see, Abram believed God for what he knew about God. Did Abram have the New Testament? No. Did Abram have the Old Testament? No. Now the Bible has always been, because the Bible is God, but it wasn't even in print yet. But what did he have? He had the voice of God speaking to him, and when God said this is going to happen, he believed God. This is how we get saved today. We get saved the very same way. When we open the Word of God and we see in the Word of God what it takes to be saved, we either believe it or we don't. And that's how righteousness is counted to us. That's how righteousness is added to our account. I believe right here in a way that we, for the terminology we use today, I believe right here, Abram is a follower of Jesus Christ as much as I am a follower of Jesus Christ today. It was simply this: what he had from God, he believed it, and because he believed it, God said, okay, that's accounted to you. That's added to your account for righteousness. Faith. Abraham believed God. But Let's go back a little bit to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm just going to list these, that he was the father, I wrote this down, Abraham was the father of no one, who was on the way to nowhere, and yet he believed God. He was the father of no one, who was on the way to nowhere, and yet he believed God. God, where do you want me to get? God just led him every step of the way. And I don't want to think anything different than that God today wants to lead me the very same way through his word. Yeah, I have a greater, more sure word of prophecy than even Abram had. Abram heard directly from God. You and I can hear directly from God every single day of our life. What a privilege. That's how our faith is going to be strong. That's how our faith is going to give God the glory. Like never before, we can have that in 2021 as we seek to be in the Word of God and have the Word of God be in us. It is the Word of God that builds faith. It is belief in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that builds our faith. You see, Abram didn't have it all, flowers and all that. It wasn't easy. In Genesis chapter 12, there was a famine. And again, I don't have time to read through all of this, but there was a famine in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, there was a Pharaoh as well. In Genesis chapter 13, Abram had a fight with his brother. You see, not everything was easy. I'm just trying to say here, we read Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. But I believe there was a leading up to that moment in his life where there was some weak moments in his life. Or we even read as well in Genesis chapter 15, as we go back to Genesis chapter 15, God said to him, fear not, fear not. Now, again, I think that's possibly that there was some fear there. God knew exactly what Abram needed. And so in Genesis 15, there was fear. In Genesis 16, Abram's faith wavered. Because in Genesis 16, there was foolishness. This isn't the outline, but this is just some observations of Abram's life before we get to this Romans 4:20. Because sometimes we put Abraham up here and we think, I'll never be able to be like Abraham. A giant of faith. Yes. But let's see some of Abram's life. Let's take a little, like we're looking at right here. Let's realize that Abraham is like me and like you, and that he went through difficulties and he went through challenges. Some of those tests he failed. Some of those tests he passed. And we see in Genesis 16 the idea between the birth of Ishmael, as Sarah's wife came up with a foolish way of finding the will of God and doing the will of God. You know, I'm old and you're old. And look, maybe you should just have a baby with my handmaid Ishmael. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't faith. Ishmael is a picture of living by the flesh. Isaac is a picture of living by the promises of God. Which way are you going to live your life? Are you going to live your life by God's promises, or are you going to live your life in the flesh? We have a choice to make, by the way. They are living patterns today, and they are living illustrations today, thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. Christians today have a choice to make. Are you going to live your life how you want, or are you going to live your life how God wants by His promises? My friend, find the end of where these things lead. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, but when we live by the promises of God, there is life eternal through those promises. Now look at verse 18. As we go back to Romans, go back to Romans 4, please. In verse 18, the Bible says, who against hope, notice, believed in hope. Would you mark that? Abraham is 100 years old right now. Not in Romans, but this is what it's talking about. Sarah is 90 years old. It's coming to a point now where hope is leaving. It seemed impossible. Abraham, though, still had hope. You realize that it's approximately 25 years since God told Abraham, who was Abram at the time, since God told Abraham, you're going to have all these stars, that's going to be you. 25 years have gone by. There is no doubt at this point that the human possibility of Abraham and Sarah having children was next to nothing. But the Bible says that Abraham, against hope, what? Believed in hope. Unbelievable. Against hope, believed in hope. Hope is the desire for something to happen. Faith is the confidence that it will happen. Hope is the desire for something to happen. Faith is the confidence that it will happen. Oh, I pray today, church family, I wish I could see every one of you. I wish we could be gathered together in one location. That is a hope maybe that we have in the coming future. And I do believe hopefully that will be soon. That we have the faith, and that translates into faith and believing that when God is ready for it to be that way, it is going to be that way. Hope is believing something, is wanting something to happen, a desire for something to happen. Faith is the confidence that it will happen. 25 years it took for the promised son to arrive. 25 years. In somewhat of a humorous way, I found this little ad, Dr. Ray Pritchard. I do not know who he is. I'm not advocating Dr. Ray Pritchard, but it was kind of a funny little thing that he wrote, possibly the chronology of the 25 years between the promise given and the promise received. At 76, Abraham buys a crib. It's obviously in the vernacular of our day. At 78, he makes a list of possible boy names. At 80, he orders a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At 85, he goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At 86, he puts up wallpaper in the baby's room. At 90, he subscribes to New Parent magazine. Didn't know they had it back then. At 93, he and Sarah start Le Mans classes. That one was a funny one. At 96, he drives a practice run to the hospital. At 98, he packs the suitcase and sets it by the tent door. Wow. Why? Talk about hope, right? At 99, he scratches his head and says, I wonder if God was just kidding. 25 years. 25 minutes is too long for some of us. And here's Abraham hoping in verse 18, hoping who against hope, there was no reason why he should believe in what God had told him. There was no physical reason to believe. He was dead, if you will, and the ability to have kids, if you will, at 100, and his wife the same way. There was no, she hasn't even had a child yet. Think about it. He had one the wrong way. It wasn't with Sarah. So here's a woman who had no children at 90 years old. There was no hope, physically speaking, in a human eye. But the Bible says that Abraham, who against all this hope, still believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Who spoke it? God Almighty. When God speaks, you can believe God. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen whether you believe it or not, by the way. Get in on it, though. Get in on the blessings of God. Get in on the miracles of God. Let's see a renewed strengthening of our faith this year like never before, that we can believe against hope, that there is hope for whatever it is, because God said it was going to happen. Because God said to Abraham, you're going to have, your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. And so here he is at 100 years old. I have no idea, but I believe God. Sarah, I have no idea how this is going to work out, but I believe God. Salvation comes through a complete divine power and not a human effort. Abraham is a perfect picture of this. There was nothing in Abraham and Sarah to be able to have children at this stage of their life. There's nothing in you and in me that is good enough to get us to heaven, worthy enough for us to get saved, worthy enough for us to go to heaven someday. But by the grace of God, you and I, and by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can be set free, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can be accepting the promise that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and on and on and on it goes. Because it's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do. I'd like to begin this message, and we'll go in as far as we can in this morning service with an outline. And so let's get into this. Number one is the determination of Abraham's faith. The determination of Abraham's faith. Look at verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Okay, that's not talking about that he's dead physically. It's talking about having kids. That, you know, at 100, you know, it's just probably not going to happen. That's what that's talking about. When he was about 100 years old, I think he was 99, pardon me, 99 years old, about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So that's how you understand. What he's talking about here is, I don't have the ability, Sarah doesn't have the ability, but the Bible says here, he wasn't weak in faith. Because you see, when we take our eyes, as we learned in the first hour, when we take our eyes off of the source of our faith and we begin to look around us and we begin to look at what we can't do. Look, we need a revival of can-do Christianity. We need a revival of, oh, I can't do that and I can't. We need to get that garbage out of our mouth. We need to get that out and say, no, with God we can do anything but fail. With God we can have the greatest revival of ever before. We can have it with God. I'm talking about personal revival. I'm not talking about a national one yet. I'm talking about personally. You can have a revival. Stop saying I can't and realize that you can. With God's help, you can do anything. Look at Abraham and Sarah's example. They looked at themselves and said, well, you know, I've never, Sarah, you haven't had any yet, and I've had one, but that wasn't the right way, but man, we're too old now. We can come up with, the devil will give you and me all kinds of excuses as to why we can't. No, I say, tell the devil, yes, thank you for those. I don't want any more of those. I know a God who can. I know a God who does everything that is impossible. I know a God who can do the greatest and the mightiest of things. I believe in God. the determination of Abraham's faith. We need some determined believers in 2021 to have a faith in a God that never fails. He believed in a God who could bring life to the dead. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. Follow this. He quickeneth the dead. Isn't that what it says about you and about me when we got saved? We were dead and he quickened us. You hath he quickened who were once dead in trespasses and sins. He believed in a God who could bring life from the dead. He believed in a God who could create and resurrect. Look at it. And calleth those things which be not. I believe this is creation. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. God said, it was so. It wasn't there. Hey, there was no animals there. There was no animals. There was no Garden of Eden. There was no fruit trees. There was no, of course, Adam. There was no Eve. There was no waters. There was none of that. There was no light and all of that. God created it all. God took nothing and made something. And Abraham says here, Paul says of Abraham, he believed that not only could God bring something back from the dead, but God could take nothing and make something out of it. That's the God who wants to walk with you. That's the God who wants to meet your needs. That's the God who wants to revive you and revive me. That's the God who has something special for us every day. That's the God. That's our God. Amazing. He believed a God who could create nothing out of something. He believed God for the promise of Isaac for 25 years. It reminds me a lot of the determination of a man by the name of Noah, who for over 100 years, about 120 years, Noah was determined. He had a determined faith that God said it was going to rain. He had no idea what it was. And for 120 years, Noah built an ark preparing for something he had never seen. How? Because he had a determined faith. That if God told me something to do and God told me something was coming, I believe God. In fact, no one believed God at that time. No one believed God that was going to rain. Noah was building a boat for something he could not provide. Think of that. Noah could not provide rain. Only God could. Noah was building by faith for something that Noah could not provide. We cannot provide salvation. Only God can provide it. And he has provided it. He's provided it. I want to ask you this question. What is the longest amount of time you have prayed for something? We're thinking about, number one, the determination of Abraham's faith. 25 years. What's the longest time you've ever prayed for something? Was it a year? Was it 5 years? Was it 10 years? Was it 25 years? Are you still praying for something right now that you've been praying for over 25 years? That could be the case. I'm not sure. But I can tell you this. The struggle strengthens our faith. The struggle strengthens our faith. Because if you pray for something for one day and it's met the next day, praise God that it got met the next day. But that's not much of a struggle. If you pray for something for a year and God meets it after 1 year, you know what? You know what's going to happen to your faith? It's definitely going to grow more. I'm not saying don't pray for something and want it the next day. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that don't give up. I'm saying don't stop praying. Don't let your faith waver because this need hasn't been met. It's been 5 years. Hey, 20 years, Anchor Baptist, we've never had our own building. This is as close to having our own building as we've ever had. We don't own it. We're renting it. I'm just saying this. We just need to continue by faith to seek the will of God for our life. Whatever it may be, don't give up. When we see ourselves as insufficient and God as our all-sufficiency, it will enable us to be determined in our faith. Abraham was 99. This is not going to happen. But I believe God can make something out of nothing. I think Abraham believed God was going to bring Isaac back to life, no problem. You know, when he went up and he offered Isaac, he was supposed to offer Isaac on the mountain. I believe his faith from this point on was just a building process along every step of the way. He had a determined faith. Number two, we see the stability of Abraham's faith. The stability of Abraham's faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. Notice, the stability of Abraham's faith was not in Abraham. The stability of Abraham's faith was not in Abraham. You know, after you're saved for a little while, you have to be careful. Anytime, but we have to be careful that our faith becomes almost in ourselves. That, you know, we've been saved for 20 years, we've been saved for 10 years, we've been saved for a year, 5 years, whatever. And we have to be careful that we don't allow the devil to even convince us that we can handle the Christian life. No, we can't handle the Christian life. We are completely dependent on the promises of God. We are completely dependent on the power of God. We are completely dependent on God and God alone for every day of our life. Here we see the stability of Abraham's faith. Abraham, the Bible says here, he was strong in faith. His faith was in the character of God. When your faith is in the character of God, we will not flip-flop back and forth. That's what that word staggering means, by the way. It means that Abraham did not go, at one moment he believed God, and the next moment he didn't believe God. And the one moment he believed, and back and forth. And that's a battle. I'm not saying that we don't have that battle. We may have that battle. What we're saying is we want to eliminate that battle a little bit at a time. We want to eliminate that staggering, that we know there isn't anything in us that doesn't believe that God's promises are true and going to take place. We stagger not. Meaning we don't go back and forth, believing them one minute, not believing them the next minute. His faith was in the character of God. Turn to Psalm 57 quickly. Psalm 57, I think I've read it recently. Psalm 57, we see the stability of Abraham's faith. Psalm 57 and verse 7. Psalmist says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." My heart is fixed. That's the stability of Abraham's faith. That's the stability of my faith and your faith today. If we have stable faith, it's because our faith is fixed on God. Our faith is fixed on His Word. Paul said this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." How? In the Lord. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the" what? "Power of His might." You see, Abraham's faith was stable because it wasn't in Abraham. Abraham's faith was in the character of God. And when our faith is in the character of God, we can rest assured that our faith is fixed, that our power comes from the Lord and our strength comes from the Lord, and we can be strong in the Lord and in His might. That's where we need to be today, in His might. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, 13, Paul again writes, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." How's your faith today? Is your faith stable or is it staggering? You see, the devil wants it to be staggering. But we can have stable faith as we focus on the promises of the Word of God. Staggering takes place only when our faith is failing. Can I encourage you with something? The promises of God will never fail. Whether my faith fails in them or not, that doesn't mean they're not. The promises of God are never going to fail. Therefore, my faith must be in the promises of God, never fail. So that'll keep my faith from failing and staggering. A stable faith glorifies God. That's what the verse says. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, God can be trusted. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began." You can trust God. First off, we can trust God for our salvation. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? if on January 3rd, 2021, you took your last breath, would you be in heaven? You know, you can trust in a lot of ways to take you to heaven. But Jesus Christ himself, in his very own words, said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only hope this world has. It's the only hope you have on this very first Sunday of 2021. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, if you have never put your faith in him, why not today? Why not today humble yourself before Almighty God and just like Peter did earlier in the day that we looked at, just call out to God in faith. God, I need your help. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I can't help myself. My good works will not save me. I'm turning to Jesus Christ and him alone today to be my Savior. Why not right now? You can just stop listening to me even. God's working on your heart. Why don't you just go to your knee right there in your living room? Why don't you just right now by faith trust Jesus Christ as Savior? He's ready to save you. He's the only one who can save you. Why not trust him today? How about it, Christian? Is your faith stable or is it staggering? Do you have a determined faith? How long have you been praying for that need? How long have you been praying for that whatever it may be? Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Abraham's faith was determined. Abraham's faith was stable. If God says it, we can believe him all the time. And when we believe him,